Okay, hi everybody. Thanks for attending the webinar today. Just before we begin, a small introduction about myself and Rock. So my name is Johnny Fletcher, and I'm the test automation architect here at Rock. I started working for Rock in October 2013, so I've been here just over 5 years now. And Rock are an award-winning pure-play software testing services provider. We were founded in August 2009, so in our 10th year now, and we operate from a purpose-built test lab based in Chorley in Lancashire. My main role, or what I'm responsible for, is the design, the development, the implementation and governance of automated test solutions for all our clients at Rock, and I'm an active speaker at software testing events throughout the UK. So that's a little bit about myself and Rock, but just moving straight into what I want to talk about today. And my presentation, which is Chasing the Giant Rabbit. So this is a tale of software, automation, and outsized bunnies. It's actually about EPOS and testing POS terminals, but I'll explain that in more detail now. So what was the project? So the project was all about pet supplies and working with one of the UK's largest pet supplies retailers, delivering a test automation framework that was capable of functionally testing their EPOS system used daily in over 300 stores throughout the UK. The software used by the retailer was developed by a third party as an off-the-shelf solution with some customizations and configuration changes relevant to the retailer in specific. The test automation framework had to be capable of replicating a software tester's interaction with a POS terminal. And that was actually testing a .NET desktop application hosted on the Windows operating system. Now, engaging with the client, the first thing that we always ask them when they're talking about test automation, showing an interest in test automation, is why test automation? There's many reasons why people think they need automation, but what we want to do is really understand the problem behind what they're trying to automate. And in this instance, the client was really struggling with the main thing being speed of testing. So what we did is we talked to them, and their decision to implement an automated solution was primarily driven by the desire to reduce the time taken to release changes into production. We needed to maintain or improve the thoroughness of software testing conducted as a part of new feature acceptance or regression testing. So essentially replicating what they do now, but in an automated fashion. For each new release, a full regression test cycle would then be carried out by two software testers, and that had to be executed over a two-week period, so 10 man days in total. This was a time-boxed exercise, which actually meant that they were often forced to take a risk-based approach to testing. So they essentially did everything that they could within that 10-day period. In order to respond to market changes quicker, the time taken to fully validate these new changes hadn't adversely impacted the existing code. The time taken had to be really reduced significantly. 2 weeks was really too long. And actually often, if they found a defect within that two-week period, that cycle would have to start all over again when new fixes were applied. So what did we do in specific for the client? We embraced Agile, and the business was already delivering projects using the Agile software development methodology. So other projects unrelated to retail, but the POS scripts hadn't been updated to reflect the change in how they delivered software and how requirements were captured and tested. So specifically what Rock did for the client is we first of all rewrote all of the existing step-by-step test cases in the form of user stories and acceptance criteria to really fit in with a BDD style test automation framework. So we implemented this framework using only open source tools, and we integrated the solution with Jenkins CI for test execution and reporting from a central dashboard. Because it was a third-party vendor delivering changes, we couldn't essentially do the CI part of integrating with their source control. But what we could do is we could schedule execution over weekend on in evenings, really to make sure that the testing was done outside hours And what the testers were then doing is really reviewing the output of those tests and really concentrating on identifying whether it was a defect, whether it was an issue with the system at the time, really focusing on results rather than test execution. So with moving to a BDD style approach to test scripting, we implemented the Gherkin syntax. So given, when, then is a test case definition. So given being the you and your condition, really setting the scene of the test, when, what you do, so the action that you're performing, and the then, really what you see as a result of that, so the expected outcome. An example of one of the test cases that we did deliver for the client was a loose item basic sale. So as a customer, I want to buy rabbit food so that I can feed my giant rabbit. That's really high level user story, but really specifying the user intent. The scenario or one of the acceptance criteria that, that we added to validate that the user could actually do this was to purchase the loose item using exact cash. And that was translated as, given I have £5 of rabbit food in my basket and I proceed to the checkout, when I pay using £5 of cash, then the transaction is successful. So a really good way of expressing that if I want to purchase a product using the exact amount of cash, then I would expect that transaction to process successfully. The solution itself was wholly open source. And here's an example of the architecture. So the turquoise, the blue line, is essentially the split between two systems. We implemented a master-slave configuration for the solution. So all of the test assets were actually hosted on a completely separate machine to the application under test. There were a couple of reasons for this, but mainly we didn't want the test automation software to have a negative impact on the machine hosting the POS software. By keeping them completely separate, that meant that we really reduced the risk of the automated software having an adverse impact on the application under test. So the tests were hosted on a Windows-based desktop, and we used a number of tools to implement the solution. So the actual language that the code was written in was Java. We used Cucumber as the test framework, so enabling us to create user stories and acceptance criteria or features and scenarios that are known in Cucumber. And we used the open source tool called Winium. Now, Winium is actually Selenium for Windows. So everybody's probably heard of Selenium WebDriver. Winium is essentially a direct comparison of Selenium WebDriver, but rather than driving web browsers, it's actually driving a Windows desktop application. It's free, open source, and it has almost exactly the same bindings as Selenium WebDriver. So anybody familiar with WebDriver will also be very familiar with Winium. And get up to speed quite quickly. So the Winium element was essentially receiving commands from the master framework on the slave machine and then driving the desktop application. The desktop application being a POS terminal, after a transaction had been processed, that generated two transaction records. One record was updated in a SQL database, and the other record was an XML file, which would then be passed further down the rabbit hole or further down the chain to both the finance and warehousing solutions. So if I bought a rabbit, I need to make sure that the warehousing team know that I've got one less rabbit, and I need to make the finance team aware they've got some money coming in as we've just made a sale. So those are the transaction records that are generated after each POS transaction. And we also used Jenkins CI as the test execution and reporting engine. So importing a Cucumber plugin to pull in the test reports and then setting up scheduled execution just using the build trigger as a timed execution. So quite a simple solution, but it worked really well using all open source tools. So there were no licensing impact to the client whatsoever. So it was a simple solution to set up, but we did have certain challenges, more so around the application that we were testing. So what were those challenges? Physical devices were our main problem. So physical devices connected to the test machines really posed the biggest challenge. The reason being is that the test setup that we were given, or the environment configuration, was actually a physical, a full till configuration. So it had the card reader attached, it had the customer facing display, it had all of the other peripherals that would be connected to a POS terminal. Now, that caused challenges because interacting with peripheral devices, including the card reader, we couldn't automate that. So that essentially meant it was forced cash only transactions. Now, I should state here, the only reason why we couldn't automate that is because it was out of scope for the particular engagement. What we essentially could do is look at creating virtualized services to replace some of these physical peripherals. It was out of scope, but I'd have loved to have had a go at it. So we did. We had to use only cash transactions. Now, using only cash transactions created another problem for us, because each time we run a cash sale, the till drawer opened. So that essentially meant that the till drawer opened, and until the till drawer was closed again, we wouldn't be able to process any further transactions. There was a simple solution to the problem. We locked the cash drawer. So whilst it opened, it essentially immediately closed again. That close command was sent to the POS terminal, and it moved itself back to a ready state to process the next transaction. So on top of the till drawer opening, we solved that by simply locking it. The receipt printer would also run out of paper. So because we had a physical printer set up, that would keep printing out receipts for each transaction that we processed. But ultimately, the receipt printer would run out, and a modal would appear, or a message would appear on the screen saying, please replace the receipt printer paper. You can't process any more transactions until you do. So that was a big pain for us. Another simple solution to that was that we ensured every night that we had scheduled an execution in, there was a manual task for someone to go and replace the printer paper. Another simple solution, but it worked. We didn't get through a full till roll, so we knew that if we put a new roll in before we left, then we'd get through everything that we needed to that evening. So those were some of the main peripheral challenges that we had. But the second problem that we had was around constantly changing data relating to products, prices, and promotions. And this caused instability in testing, because using hard-coded data, we wouldn't be able to say with confidence that the test run would pass, because if a product had either been discontinued, prices have been changed, something might have been on discount or buy one, get one free. These were all things that we were always chasing our tails, constantly updating the test data to support the tests that we needed to execute. So we did overcome that challenge, but I'll come on to that in a second. So those were some of the challenges. We managed to solve them. But the key successes for us, or some of the key highlights, were that we reduced testing time actually down from 2 weeks and two testers to 7 hours overnight. So it was the same amount of testing, approximately 140 functional regression scripts in total, normally done over a 10-day period, so actually 20 Mondays effort, and down to 7 hours overnight. So significantly improving the flow of work coming through. We were finding defects much, much quicker. And that meant that we could essentially turn them around, pass them back to the third party for them to be resolved, and then retest within a very, very short time period. So we were now executing all test cases during each regression cycle, no longer following that risk-based approach to testing. So really amplifying the feedback loops. The more tests that you do, the more confidence that you can get in the quality of the software that you're delivering. And we actually then implemented a data-driven approach to testing, dynamically updating the Gherkin feature files or the data tables contained within them to have current live products and prices based on information held in the database at that particular time. So just flicking back very, very quickly, where we were interrogating and creating transactions in the database, we could also query that database to say what products are actually being sold at this moment in time, what are their prices, and what is on promotion. So having access to that information meant we could inject dynamic test data at the time of executing the test, and it meant that the tests were always up to date and tests weren't failing purely because of poor data. What we also found, sorry, I've gone forward a little bit here, going back. We implemented a data-driven approach. We also improved the quality of the software delivered by the third-party vendor through highlighting the lack of software testing soon after deployment to the test environment. Essentially, what we were saying is that the quality wasn't being instilled in the product from the vendor before it was being passed over to the clients. By continuously highlighting really defects that should never have been introduced, the software vendor began to improve their testing process to avoid embarrassment in the future. The same approach to test automation has actually now been embraced by the whole business as well. So it's not just the POS team that are using this approach to test automation, it's being used company-wide. So that's a real win for us, that people are actually seeing the benefits of test automation and how it can be applied to actually get some real return on investment and some real value. So those were the successes, but there were also some surprises along the way. And these were quite unexpected at times. So through generating the test cases dynamically, we actually highlighted legacy data in their databases that had no purpose but was replicated to the POS terminals each night. Now, they essentially had 10 years worth of data that got replicated to each store each evening. And what that contained is products, prices, promotions, but they were sending everything to each POS terminal unnecessarily. All they needed to do is have live products and prices and promotions. So we highlighted that there was lots of data that they weren't using, and they actually went through a data cleansing exercise to reduce the amount of time taken for replication each evening, and that significantly reduced the process, I think, down by about 70%. So it only took 30% of the time to do that replication. We identified errors in promotions. So those were things that would never be triggered. And more importantly, those that would never be honored. So there were a few issues at times where products were on 3 for 2, but the customer was actually being charged full price for the three items. Unfortunately, these days, rather than just raising the issue with the store, a lot of people will turn to social media to vent their frustration. That's damaging from a reputation perspective for the client. So what they wanted to do is make sure that if they were offering a discount, that the customer always received that discount. The automated test cases could be executed to generate large volumes of transactions that could also be used to support basic performance tests. Now, because we could generate so much volume over a very short period of time, the client actually realized that they could build up a number of transactions and use that to flood the system all in one go. So we built up thousands of transactions. They'd already turned the queues off not to pull those transactions through to the back-end systems. And when they had sufficient load, they would turn on that queue and they would watch the impact of a large number of transactions all being processed at the same time. So it wasn't actually a key requirement of the framework to support performance testing or to execute performance-based tests, but it certainly helped out to support that performance testing process. We also found that not only could we automate the cashier-facing display, but we could also test the customer-facing display too, commonly known as a VFD or a vacuum fluorescent display. So we could also test not only what the cashier is seeing, but then also what the customer was seeing. So verifying that the cashier is being given the same information as the customer and vice versa. So it was really a 2-for-1 win for us. And the automated test cases weren't only saving time, they were really responsible for protecting the client's reputation. As I mentioned, social media is prevalent now. Lots of people like to vent their frustration online rather than trying to resolve the issue at the source. But they were really responsible for ensuring that the client wasn't in one of those embarrassing situations where they weren't honoring really what they had committed to. So that was some of the surprises. Now, automated testing, obviously we know adds real value to the software testing lifecycle. And one thing that we do stress is it's not necessarily a replacement for manual testers. So automated testing is amazing, but software testers aren't dead. I did put yet on the end. There's some new and interesting technology coming through the pipeline, AI and machine learning in particular, that will help software testing in the future. So they're not dead. What they really can do then is they're empowered to really explore, do that exploratory testing, user experience testing, something that a human is really, really good at. Regression testing and doing repetitive things over and over again isn't what a human's good at. A machine is really good at that. By implementing the automated solution for this particular client, it actually enabled their testers to do that exploratory testing and actually be redeployed elsewhere in the business as well. Actually taking promotions, getting into project management. They weren't bogged down with the day-to-day tasks. They were really empowered. So that's some of the key benefits of delivering the POS solution for this UK pet supplier. So does anybody have any questions? So we've got one question. If the store POS is changed, i.e. button moves, etc., how flexible is the testing software? Okay, good question. So the software that we were using to automate the kiosk was a tool called Winium. So it works very similarly to Selenium WebDriver. So we have the concept of using IDs as locators. We can even fall back to XPath and LinkText and things along that lines. Now, we actually use Inspect as a tool to interrogate the application. We can capture those IDs, and then we store those in the page object model. So using the page object design pattern, it essentially aids in maintainability, but also reusability as well. So if the button does move, that's fine. As long as we're using an ID to interact with the button, it doesn't make any problems for us whatsoever. If it's changed, however, so if it maybe moves to a new screen or something like that, then we would definitely need to update the automation suite to cater for that. But by using best practice approaches, reuse, the standard design patterns, that really helps make it easier to respond to those changes. So I hope that answers your question. So another one, expecting it is based like a macro, pressing buttons at an expected place. So I'm assuming that actually refers to so identifying controls based on X and Y coordinates. That's definitely not what we do. So we don't say that this button must be in this exact location on the screen. Identical to Selenium WebDriver, we really prefer that a button has an ID, so it's uniquely identified. But we would always say, click the button that has the ID X, as an example. So another question coming through. So who updates the automation suite? Is this done by yourselves or would we have control? Okay, so it's actually yes to both of those. So dependent on the client and who we're delivering to, the in-house skill sets of the organization as well. We would either deliver a test automation suite and actually have a maintenance agreement in place, or we'd actually train the client's in-house staff to manage, maintain the framework. Maybe they get us in to do enhancements, things along that lines. So I hope that helps. But yes, we can either do a managed service or we do provide training, especially on this particular engagement, actually sitting alongside existing staff and doing handovers to them. So what was your preferred choice for locators, CSS or XPath? Well, preferably an ID, mainly because if you're using IDs, they're really easy to find on an application, and it reduces the skill set required to actually maintain the framework as well. If you're using CSS or XPath, that almost implies a level of coding knowledge. So we try to ask any of our clients, if they're building their own software, to give controls unique identifiers, or even if it's a third-party vendor that's delivering the solution, if those IDs aren't there, we would like to feedback on that and really let them know how, by doing that, it would really help the testing process. So that's something that we definitely advocate. If the vendor isn't doing that, we talk to them and ask them if they can for us. And we have another question. So if we have test tools set up for different regions, i.e. the UK, international, etc., do we need multiple tools, or can I run tests across multiple tools? If it's the same software, I can't see why you can't use the same tool. We do it actually for quite a few of our clients. I'm using Winium for another client, but on a pharmaceutical retail. And they have kiosk setups for both the UK and the Republic of Ireland. Now, it's the same software, but actually it's just then, because it's Republic of Ireland, they use euro versus the UK is in pounds. There's also things around measurements, imperial versus metric, that I need to consider in that one. But now, if it's the same software, just with different presentation, you should hopefully be able to use the same tool. But I'd love to take a look before I say for 100%. So if the ID is not available, sometimes you cannot have ID for all the controls or elements. If ID not available, then how would you tackle that? I'd fall back to one of the other locator types. XPath is pretty powerful, as is CSS. But yeah, ID is preferable, but there are other ways to identify controls on a page and interact with them. So doing the click commands and send keys or input text, that's still available using other locator types. But I would still feedback to the vendor to ask them if we can have those IDs wherever possible. So if we were to change the testing suite, what skills would be needed in-house? Is it GUI-based, or would programming knowledge be needed? I guess it all depends on the types of changes that were being made. This solution that we delivered was a solution using Java to underpin it. But if it's, I guess it's, it all depends on how you've delivered it and what the reason is for making the change. If it's sort of functional flow has changed, but the page objects have already been defined, then there should be an element of reuse in there. So definitely the skills required to manage the test cases would be reduced. But if it's exposing new functionality, things on the lines, then yes, you would require a certain level of programming knowledge. But hopefully by the time we've delivered the solution, there are enough examples really to work from. So copy, paste, and tweak. And that should hopefully be enough to then flesh out the framework with additional test cases. So continue, we make heavy changes to our POS with new screens, buttons, etc. So I guess that just needs to be taken into consideration. Certainly moving to a BDD way of working, it kind of means that the test cases are being written by the business analyst and being passed into the automation engineers to update. I guess if it's changing frequently, then there's always a question to be asked. Is it worthwhile automating the application at this particular time? Or should we wait for a more stable period where changes aren't being made as frequently? But if you do implement best practice approaches in terms of maintainability, reusability, then hopefully if screens are changing, then it should be one update that then benefits many test cases that reference those updates. Can you show us how to make changes to the suite? Just a screenshot, etc. Sadly, I don't have access to the client at the moment. I'd need to join via VPN, and it's not possible, sadly. If you do contact us though, I do have some demos on another machine that I can show you. So I can get you some screenshots. So all I need is an email address, and I'd be happy to send those through. So how do you ensure you have got enough test coverage? Okay, so I guess in this particular instance, we were delivering to an existing regression suite, but we actually identified that there was lacking test coverage. So this was very much a critical regression pack, and not necessarily a full regression pack. And the existing test cases that the client had were actually all on spreadsheets. We actually created a test matrix, a test coverage matrix to provide to the client to show them what they were testing, what they weren't testing. And we were originally asked to create about 100 tests, but as I mentioned earlier, that's about anywhere between 120 and 140 in the end. So we added that additional test coverage where we found that it was lacking. So another question. So how does the software handle old or slow hardware, where there are long delays between screens, etc.? We have some ancient tills, the others, which are ultra fast, both running the same POS. Okay, so Winium, the tool that we were using was identical to Selenium WebDriver. So what we could do is we could use waits. So wait until this particular button is displayed, or wait until the page is fully loaded before moving on. All we need to do is essentially specify a timeout period. So standard would be 10 seconds, but you can extend that out to 30 seconds, a minute, dependent on the how slow the hardware actually is. But we would always add waits to counter, to be more tolerant of the environment that we're running the tests against. So we've got ultra fast pause. Next question, what was the man effort to complete the project? So the initial implementation, we actually did this in three different deliverables. So the first one was the functional regression testing pack, which was 120 plus tests, and that was about 8 weeks worth of effort. So that was 2 weeks framework build, integrating with all the software, the databases, all of that, and then we work iteratively. So the first 2 weeks was framework setup, next 2 weeks was a certain number of scripts, and we started to accelerate as we go through that process as well. So 2 weeks chunks, but delivering more and more test cases at each iteration, because we're reusing the assets that we've already delivered. So that's our general approach, is essentially to work agile. Even if the client isn't working agile, we'd always aim to do that. So if a till were to fatal error during testing, would the testing suite be able to identify this and highlight which tests caused the fatal error? Yeah, absolutely. So we always, even actually some tests can fail midway through, but because the POS terminal essentially would hang in that state, what we'd need to do is put it back to the start point again. So we always take it back to the till lock screen and then start our testing from there. If there was a fatal error and the application itself actually died, so not just an error in the test, but a fatal application error, that would be caught. So we'd know exactly the point of time that it failed. Generally on failure, we'd also take a screenshot. But if the application is essentially fatally errored, if it doesn't have a modal showing an error or an application error, then we wouldn't get that screenshot, but we'd certainly be capturing the metrics as part of that and being able to show exactly where the test suite failed. We also do then implement logic to try and restart the application to see if we can get further through the suite if possible. So next question, do we follow solid principles? Yes, absolutely. So solid design principles in terms of coding standards is something that I'm very big on. Single responsibility, object oriented, the works. We definitely instill best practice development approaches, and even in terms of programming languages. So for Java, we'd always align with Java's programming standards, similarly for C#, and using some tools to make sure that people are following those standards as well. So next question, we have an e-receipt application that appears at the end of the transaction. This is separate to store 6.2. Will the testing suite be able to handle this as it is entirely separate? So e-receipt application, it all depends if it's really the same technology. As mentioned at the start, we're testing an EPOS system that's a .NET based application. Now, if the e-receipt application is also a .NET based application, then yes, absolutely fine. We could use Winium as part of that. But because of the nature of this solution, it's a Java-based framework, and we can really extend it out with other capabilities as well. So the POS testing suite or the test automation framework that we delivered doesn't necessarily have to be specifically catering for POS. What we can do is, instead of using the Winium libraries, we can bring in Selenium WebDriver libraries instead and start pointing at them at their e-commerce platform. We can bring in API testing. So using, this was a Java-based solution, so we use a lot of Rest Assured to test at the API level as well. So it's not all about testing at the UI. We'd certainly advocate that ideal test automation pyramid, lots and lots of unit tests, fewer integration tests, and even fewer UI tests. Really targeting automation where it's best placed. But again, we'd love to have a look at the application and see if it's something that we can extend it out to. But I do know actually that that the POS system that you're referring to does have e-receipt functionality, or it is coming through. We were asked to look at it as part of this implementation. So was there a specific reporting tool? That was actually the Cucumber reports that we were generating. So we had a Cucumber report that was created, and that was then just pulled through at the end of the Jenkins build, or the Jenkins test execution cycle. That report would then be pulled into Jenkins and just displayed using a standard Cucumber plugin. So there was no customization to that reporting for the particular team that we were delivering for, but actually in further iterations or further chunks of work that we delivered for them, we actually did their marketing and promotion stuff. And they wanted a different type of reporting, which was a little bit more high level. They didn't want stack traces or screenshots. They wanted different metrics out of the system. So we created a custom HTML report specifically for them. So we do use out-of-the-box stuff if that really ticks all the boxes for the client, but there may be other areas of the business that want a more bespoke reporting solution. And yeah, we delivered that for the same client, in fact. The POS functional team used one report. The marketing team used another. So using Agile or DevOps methodologies, when we should be running the test automation scripts, if the requirement is always in changing, should not be worth prepare the test scripts for performance and creation data too for next releases too. I'll try and answer that question. So using Agile or DevOps methodologies, when should we be running the test automation scripts if the requirement's always changing? I guess if you're actually following DevOps methodologies, then you should be using a continuous integration approach, continuous delivery. So test automation should be being executed after each change is delivered to the master source. If requirements are always changing, then it's just about how you manage those changes and which tests you execute as part of the regression test cycle. So next question, can you please provide contact details for us to arrange a demo, especially covering the updating of the suite at a later date? Yep, no problems. Thanks, Charles. We'll send those over. So we've got another question around, so I'm interested to see your approach to the use of tooling, not only for functional, but also security aspects. Okay, so the solution that was delivered was specifically for functional regression testing. So that was a main requirement for the client. So whilst we could also use other tools to do some form of security, basic security testing, even be it at privilege level, so different types of user, a standard cashier versus maybe a manager might have slightly different functionality available. So that could maybe be referred to as some form of security testing, but in terms of penetration testing and the works, that wasn't in scope for the solution. So does Winium allow parallel execution? So not necessarily. So you can't essentially use Selenium Grid or anything. So what we actually did for parallel execution in this particular client is actually implement our own grid solution. So we did have two kiosks or two POS terminals that we could use. In the beginning, we essentially just split this pack across two machines. So just one machine was running one set of tests, another machine was using another set of tests. But actually, we've got a round-robin delivery system in place now. So whichever POS terminal is free at the time, that's the one that we'll send the next test to. So Winium specifically doesn't allow parallel execution, but there are things that you can do to enable that outside of Winium. So would updating, maintaining test script require good Java programming skills? I don't think so. Certainly not for this solution that we've implemented now. There are lots and lots of examples to follow. So updating and maintaining, I guess it's the extent of the changes that are happening, but maintaining test scripts, maybe that you've updated a flow to add an additional button click, or you're capturing additional information as part of the journey. then that should be quite simple to update, just extending the page objects with the new buttons or the new functionality that you want to implement. So hopefully now there's enough there for someone with basic Java programming skills really to pick up and run with that. And that's certainly what we do within Rock anyway. So we have quite technical test engineers that are really delivering the frameworks, but our ultimate aim is to pass those over to the test community to use. So anybody should really be able to use these frameworks with a little bit of training. But as I mentioned earlier, we do provide training either after we've delivered or as part of the engagement. So getting people to come and work with us, sitting down with the team and doing that shadowing and training as we deliver the solution, so they know what's happening, what's being delivered, and how to use it. So can we use languages like Cucumber, Specflow, Gherkinbinding to enable BDD with software? That's exactly what we delivered, a BDD-based solution using Cucumber. So that's then using the Gherkin syntax for delivering test cases. Specflow we do use on some of our other clients, but that's a C-sharp-oriented language. But actually, it's fair to say that there's nothing stopping us using C-sharp in this engagement either, because Winium has bindings for both Java and C-sharp. The reason why we chose Java over C-sharp is because the in-house skill set of the client was Java. So it made sense to deliver a solution that aligned with something they already knew, rather than having to learn a different language.